And I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. So they call it Sunday school. The idea is we're going to go through the Bible and look at what the Bible says. Hopefully we can learn some things, not simply for knowledge, but for things that can change our lives and have effect on us in a practical manner. I'm going to read from verse 1 again. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every one that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, neither uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." So we looked at some things last week about standing fast, and we ought to hold fast the things that God has given to us. And one of the important things that Paul demonstrates in the book of Galatians is that Christ did it all for us. The gospel is something that Christ preached, that Christ did, and that we are no longer under the bondage of the law. And he goes through and he presents various arguments. We are not under the old covenant, we're under the new covenant, we're not under bondage, we've been set free, we have liberty. And unfortunately, these Judaizers had come into the church and wanted them to be circumcised. And I tried to explain that we see this every day in our lives. If you have any contact, any type of evangelism, as soon as you start preaching the grace of God, that salvation is by faith through grace, somebody's going to show up and say, "No, that's not sufficient. In this case, you've got to be circumcised. You have to keep the law. You got to keep the Sabbath. You can't eat pork. You can't do this. You've got to do your best, etc." And they're just going to put a whole lot of things upon us, and they just cannot stand the fact that you could be justified by faith alone. And I don't know why the world hates that, or why religious people hate that, other than they pride themselves in their own religion, and they want to guard their traditions. Now, I can understand that partially. But if people would just be real with themselves, and again, I don't know why they come to my house. I thought one time enough the word would get out and they wouldn't come back, but the JWs came back, this time in Spanish. That was fun, trying to remember how to speak Spanish and all the words, so... But they came back, and again, it came back to that very same thing. You've got to keep the commandments of God. You've got to keep the law. And I asked them plainly, I said, "Do you keep the law?" And here we go again, this circle. "Well, we try." Did you know the Bible says it's the doers of the word, not those that just look at the word or just hear the word? And if you would just realize that you're not as good as you think you are, then you would thank God for grace. If you would realize that you don't really keep the law, you don't really love God as you should, and you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you don't even love your wife as your own self. If you would just be honest with yourself, you would see the frailty. And if you have troubles being honest with yourself, just read the law and see how undone you are, how weak you are. But we have people that want to put us under bondage. And that's what Paul writes here. He says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. They want to put us under the yoke. They want us to be circumcised or to be baptized or don't eat meats or keep the Sabbath or don't go to movies or all sorts of things. They're going to put laws on you that will say you're not saved by Christ alone. You're saved. It's Christ plus whatever they want to add on there. And I would argue and do argue and would vehemently argue that it is Christ alone. If you do not have Christ, you do not have salvation. And the only way to get Christ is by faith through grace, by the grace of God, or through grace by faith. And that is the dividing line. And this argument was going on. Look over in Acts in chapter 15. I mentioned this previously. When Paul found out that these things were going on and people were saying that you had to be circumcised, and he saw immediately what a division this would cause in the young church, he went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and spoke to the apostle about this matter. I think Paul was already determined. Yeah. And he was prepared to divide even with the other apostles over this issue. And so he met with them privately saying, listen, here's where I stand. And then they had that public meeting. And we're picking it up here in Acts chapter 15 in verse 5. There was much disputing, it says, if you read the chapter. They're disputing. No, we've had this tradition. You know, it's God that gave the law to Moses and the finger of God wrote the commandments. I'm sure all sorts of arguments were presented. And now we pick it up in verse 5. Peter stands up. He says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So it wasn't just one portion of the law, it was all of the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, now remember, this was the early church. Most of these people were Jews that had gotten saved, that believed that Christ was the Messiah, that he died on the cross and rose again, and they're ready to follow him, but they're not ready to leave the law. So there was much disputing. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, remember, the Jews didn't think much of us Gentiles. And you're a Gentile, by the way. They didn't think much of us because we weren't circumcised. We didn't keep the law of Moses. We didn't have the God, their God. We had other gods. And they basically held us in contempt. They didn't even want to be with us. They didn't want to eat with us. There was a division. Yeah, and they basically had the idea salvation is for the Jews. It's for us. It's not for you Gentiles. I don't know why they didn't read the fact that Abraham was going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth and all nations, why they forgot that. Obviously, Jesus mentioned that and they got very angry. Yeah, and even his disciples were perplexed when he says, I must needs go through Samaria. They're looking at him like, what? And etc. But so that you understand the problem in that early church, they were troubled. And so they came to Jerusalem to hash it out and to decide. So Peter's saying that by mouth, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel, not only hear it, but believe it. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, listen to it, purifying their hearts by faith. What? Not with all the sacrifices, not with all the washings and the cleansing and the offerings, purifying their hearts by what? Not by the law, but by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." What did he say? Salvation is the same. It's through Christ. Don't put a yoke on the disciples. Don't make them go back to the law. God saved the Gentiles through Christ without the law, and we're saved without the law as well. It is Christ that saved. It's all by grace. And that is the point, and that's the conclusion that they made. But brethren, we face the same thing. Maybe it's not so much circumcision. You go out to your DSA and talk to young people, you're going to run into a group out there that will tell you if you are not baptized in water, you have not touched the blood of Christ, and you are not saved. They're trying to put a yoke on you. It's not that circumcision is wrong. It's the circumcision just doesn't save you. And we're going to find some choice words of Paul in this chapter as well. But it's interesting that there are people that want to put you under a yoke of bondage. We are free in Christ. Amen. Salvation is a free gift. I might be jumping the gun, but that's all right. I do that all the time anyway. Look over in Romans chapter 4. I tell you what, if you really want to do your own studying and you want to get to the foundation, read the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. Paul basically points people, it's all Christ, brethren. You can't keep the law. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. All of us are sinners. We're all guilty. We all stand condemned in the eyes of God. Our only hope is that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. It was what Paul says. So pick it up here in chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that of Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. And what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And so what Paul argued and what Peter was arguing, that God is satisfied with faith alone, and by that faith in him, by faith in Christ, God imputes to us, he counts to us the righteousness of Christ. And there are verses in the Bible that plainly tell us that God is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness, and that's sufficient. Doing all these other things doesn't change the fact Christ is our righteousness. But people fall from grace. They run from grace. They misunderstand grace, and they try to add things to Christ. Listen, salvation is Christ plus nothing. If you don't have Christ, you don't have salvation. You can have baptism, circumcision, keep the Sabbath, don't eat pork. It doesn't matter. You can have all sorts of bondage put upon you, and you might even attempt to try it, and you might conclude in yourself that, you know, you're pretty good at it, and you're succeeding, you're doing your best, but if you don't have Christ, you're lost. You should have seen that in John chapter 3, where you had Nicodemus, a good man, believed in the right God, had the right religion. Jesus says, you got to be born again. Why? Because there's something wrong with your flesh. And you can paint your flesh, you can wash your flesh, you can circumcise your flesh, but it's still flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And these Judaizers were trying to get the Christians in Galatia to go back trusting in the flesh instead of in Christ. It says in Acts chapter 13, listen to what it says here. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. You're going to try to keep the law of Moses to justify yourself? Please, I beg of you, be honest with yourself. You don't keep the law of Moses. And that's why every time, every single time, without exception, when I've dealt with people about the gospel and about salvation, and they said, well, you got to keep the law, and I've actually written it down, I put a time stamp on it, I said, okay, at 3:05, you said we have to keep the Ten Commandments. At 3:07, you said we have to keep the law that love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. At 3:10, you said we have to do what he said in Matthew chapter 19. You got to keep the commandments. You got to take up your cross. You have to sell what you have and give to the poor. You said that. You said that was necessary. I admitted at 3:15, I told you very clearly that I tried to do those things and I found myself guilty. What next? Then you said, you have to try. And I said, you didn't tell me I gotta try. You told me in the beginning at 3:05, 3:07, 3:10, 3:11, you said, I have to keep them. Question to you now, do you keep them? Be honest. And almost every time they said, well, we're trying. Do you understand that trying and doing are two different things? Tell your child, children, when I come home today from work, I will take you to the park or take you to the lake or we'll go fishing or we'll go do whatever you want to do if you do your homework and clean your room. And you come from home for work, what are the kids waiting for? We're going to the park, we're going to the lake, we're going fishing, whatever. Whatever the expectation was, they're waiting for you, but then the question comes, did you do your homework? And when the child says, I tried, you immediately know they didn't. Did you clean your room? I tried. You immediately know they didn't. And yet sinners are talking to God about justifying themselves by keeping the law, and they don't say they kept it. They say they're trying. And when you ask them, are you saved? Well, I hope I will be. Well, that's the difference. If you have the righteousness of Christ, you can say, because of Christ, I know I'm saved. I have no confidence in the flesh. All of my confidence, all of my hope is in Christ. Thanks to Him, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to paradise. I'm in the kingdom of God. Thanks to Him, not to me, to Him. You can have confidence that way because Christ fulfilled the law for us. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God, in His sight. For by the deeds of the law is a knowledge of sin. And I've argued before you've all, and you're going to hear it again, the law was not given to justify man. The law was given to shut the mouth of man and help man to realize that he's not just and he needs God. That was the purpose of the law. In Galatians, Paul said it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And once faith comes, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Paul said it's like having a tutor. Even though you're a king, you're a prince, you're going to be a king, you're under tutors as you're a child. But then when you grow up, when you become a man, you're no longer under tutors. And we're no longer under the law of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me pause here, because this is a great verse. There is another misconception, or a false idea. Because Paul says we are, what does he say here? Stand fast therefore in the liberty. This just demonstrates how wicked we are. And when I say we, I'm including you and myself. It's just how we hear about liberty and we hear about salvation by grace through faith and we hear about it's a free gift and we hear about not of works. And your witnesses, if you ever talk to somebody, the immediate conception is, well, then that means you just can do anything you want and still go to heaven? You ever hear that? Did you ever think that? I'm saved. It doesn't matter. I can just do what I want. Listen, Christ liberated us so that we're no longer under bondage, under a taskmaster. We're liberated to serve the Father.
Amen.
And there is a big difference between serving a taskmaster and serving a Father.
Amen.
The taskmaster doesn't care about you.
Amen.
He just wants to get out of you all the works he can. He's not worried about you, but the Father worries about you. Even when you fail, he's sitting there waiting for you to come to yourself and come back to him. The Father deals with you out of love. And isn't that the principal thing? Love. And what does he say here? You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. A child that is free and born of the Father wants to please the Father out of a pure heart. And that is the difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I recommend reading the whole chapter because he talks about that law written with the finger of God in stones. And he says, come on, he says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is what? Liberty. Liberty to walk in the Spirit because you're no longer under bondage. No condemnation. What a blessing it is to be able to serve God without worrying about being condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ to them that walk, not after the flesh, but in the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives us life. You want to take a yoke? Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The law never gives you rest. Did you know them priests of all, did you ever read about the tabernacle, say Exodus, the last half of Exodus, let's put it that way, from say 25 on, and read about the tabernacle, go over to Deuteronomy and read more about how they set things up. Did you know of everything in that tabernacle, there's no chairs? There's no chairs. Them priests are laboring, day and night, laboring. There's no rest for them. There's no rest. And brethren, if you're trying to keep the law, there's no rest for you. But there is in Christ. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And he says here, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest on your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because he bore the burden. He did it all. He said, it's finished. Aren't you glad it's finished?
Amen.
Too many people are trying to justify themselves through the work of the law, which you will never be justified. But thank God for Christ, who is our righteousness. Now look back in our text here in Galatians 5. Notice some things. Verse 2, he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Do you see what, I've already mentioned this, but do you see the point? It's all by Christ, or it's not at all by Christ. Nowhere in the scripture does it say Christ and the law, or Christ and your works. He says, Paul says, if you go back to circumcision, Christ says, there's no profit from Christ for you, because Christ, it's going to be Christ alone. Christ is not your helper, and you're not Christ's helper. He's the one that did it all for you. Look down at verse 4. Christ has become no effect on you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Because salvation is either all by grace or all by works. There is no middle ground. And every major religion that is calls itself Christian will tell you, yes, Christ saved us initially, or Christ gave us grace in the beginning, but if we don't maintain works, and they're going to define the works, circumcision, keep the Sabbath, don't eat pork, keep the law, do your best, etc., etc. They're going to define what you're going to do, but it all ends up works. If you don't do the works, you're going to lose your salvation. That is what religion teaches you. What the gospel teaches you, from beginning to end, Christ did it all.
Yep, that's right.
From beginning to end, you weren't looking for Him, but He was looking for you.
Amen.
You weren't trying, but He did. He did it on the cross. He not only began the work in you, He's going to complete the work in you. And when He saves you by grace through faith without works, lest any man should boast, He create works. He does the works for you so that you can walk in them.
Amen.
And not glory in yourself, but glory in Christ. And Paul says in this book of Galatians, he says, it's not I, but Christ. Do you understand the difference there, brethren? Religion will make you glorify in self. Religion will make you proud. Just like these Pharisees were proud, Jesus called them whited sepulchers. White on the outside, bad on the inside. Christ will make you clean on the inside, completely purified by faith, he says. Paul says, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. And it's amazing how many people, and again, you that have, I hope all of us are soul winners. If you go out and deal with people and talk to people about the gospel and talk to people about Jesus Christ and the good news that Christ came to save sinners, they're always going to say something to this effect. I haven't killed anybody.
Yeah.
I hope you haven't. I haven't committed adultery. Well, I hope you haven't. But you don't know there's something else that God's interested in? He's interested in your heart. And if you go back and read the Old Testament, the Jews were all about circumcising the flesh, but when God began to rebuke them, He sends out prophets and He tells them, you need to be circumcised in the heart. Because God is interested in what you are, what's on the inside and not what is on the outside. And religion puts so much emphasis on the outside, so they brag about how they haven't killed anybody. Okay, have you coveted? Because the same God said that said thou shalt not kill also said thou shalt not covet. And if you break one point of the law, you're guilty of all the law. Because it's the same God that gave all the commandments. You don't get to pick and choose. And I really doubt that you haven't murdered anybody if hatred is a murder itself. Or if lusting after a woman in your heart is adultery. You're not as good as you think you are. Yeah. Well, if you're going to get to heaven by your works, then Christ doesn't profit you in it. You don't need Christ. What does Christ go? In another place, he says, if you're justified by works, then Christ is dead in vain. Why did Christ die? If you can get to heaven by keeping the law, Christ doesn't need to die. If you need to get to heaven by baptism, circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, not eating pork or eating pork or whatever, then well, why did Christ die? You've got it. It's in your court. You can do it. But the fact is you can't. That's why you need Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You don't get to pick and choose. When the police officer pulls you over for speeding, you don't get to say, well, I stopped at the last stop sign. I parked perfectly. I turned on my signal at the red light. I merged without shoving somebody off the road. You don't get to pick and choose. You have to keep all the law if you're going to justify yourself. Is that clear?
Yes. Amen.
John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to it. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Right.
Without Christ, we don't have hope. There's nothing we can do. We can paint ourselves. We can pretend that we're good. We can put on a good show, but God sees the heart. and he sees what you are. And if you don't have Christ, you're nothing. Does God see Christ in you? He says you're fallen from grace, verse 4, if you what? Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say you lost your salvation. It says you've fallen from grace. What is the point that Paul's trying to make? He's trying to make the point that I already iterated, is it's all by grace. And if you start adding something to grace, well, you've fallen from grace. That's the point. Salvation is by grace alone, without addition. We read Romans 4. Let's try Galatians 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith, by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at now Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. If you got a big red marker, put a big red star next to this verse. If you don't like red, you can use orange, yellow, black, or any other color in your crayon box. Listen to what it says. 11:6. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be by works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That ought to clear up a lot of things for you, brethren. You got a choice. You get to heaven all by grace, or you get to heaven all by works. You don't get the mix. Paul makes it clear here. He says, if you start working, then you've fallen from grace. If you start adding works to it, then that's not grace anymore. There is a big religion in town. It's called Roman Catholicism. It violates this verse. It tries to say that the works that they do is the grace. And Paul says, no, you got to make up your mind. If you're going to get to heaven by the law, keep every point of the law. And if you violate one point, God is going to count you as if you violated the whole law. Woe be to you. Woe be to you, because, you know, you thought, well, I don't have any other gods, I don't have any images, I obey my mom and dad, I try to honor them, and I haven't murdered, and I don't commit adultery. Oops! I do covet. God says, now, you're just as guilty as a murderer, just as guilty as the adulterer, just as guilty as the idolater, just as guilty as the thief. You're guilty and have no worth. You're not just, you're unjust. You're wicked in his eyes. And that's why it can't be grace and works. It has to be all of grace. Amen. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus. How did you receive him? You received him by faith. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Amen. Religion, again, says you start by faith, you end by works. Paul says you start by faith, you start in Christ, and continue to walk in Christ, is what Christ says, or Paul says. You see the difference? Then he goes on, look down at verse 5 is a good one too. There's a couple points I want to make here. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by what? By faith. Yeah. Jehovah's Witnesses and others, how can you say that you're righteous? And I answer, not by me, but by Christ. Not by what I do, as you're proposing, do this, don't do that, as you're proposing. I am not righteous by my works. I'm not righteous by my flesh. My flesh and my works do nothing but condemn me. The only hope I have is by faith in Christ. How do you know you're saved? By faith. How do you know you're righteous? By faith. Who are you trusting? God. What has God said? He's giving the scriptures. God cannot lie. How can you say you're righteous? God said it. God said it. How can you say you're saved? God said it. Whose service shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on the name of the Lord and He saved me. Ask a religious person if they're saved. I'm trying to be. I want to be. I hope to be. I don't know if I'm gonna be. And it's filled with doubt and fear. And ask them, aren't you afraid that you might die today and not be righteous? Well, I'm trying. I told them, JW just yesterday, I don't want to go to the judgment trying. I want to go to the judgment knowing. And thank God we can know through the promises of God. That was the hope of righteousness. Then he says in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Did you know that we are under the law of Christ? Did you know that? And do you know what that law is? It's love. Look, if you learn to love your neighbor, you don't need a law. If you learn to love God, you don't need a law. It's like I said, we love our fathers. We want to honor them. We want to do the right thing for them out of a pure heart. Not because, you know, they're a taskmaster. If we don't, we have to fear that they're going to cut us off, or they'll put 50 lashes on our back, or they'll throw us in jail or whatever. We have a Father that loved us, and He loved us so much He gave us something. Do you know what He gave us? This is a test of the emergency broadcast network. Do you know what He gave us? His Son, who is eternal life. Yeah? He's given it to us. How many verses in the scriptures talks about the everlasting spirit, everlasting water flowing out of our bellies? Why? Because Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. This persuasion, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Look, if you start by grace, you got to end by grace. If you start with Christ, you're going to end with Christ. Start and end with Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He says, I'm going to read this one to you. That which He began to work in us, He will complete. Look in Philippians chapter 1. You might want to mark this verse down too. How can you be so confident, they say? Well, because my confidence is in Christ. Yeah, but I believe in Christ too. Do you? Do you? Or do you believe in self? Philippians 1:6. Being confident. Are you confident? Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. My confidence is not in my ability. My confidence is in the ability of Christ to completely save me from the beginning to the end.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that, my friends, is liberating. I don't have to worry about when I fail. I just confess it and I'm back in fellowship with Him. I don't have to worry about it because He's taking care of it all. I don't have to worry about it because I learned from the very beginning that He is my righteousness. And when I fail, I'm reminded that I have no righteousness outside of Christ. You can't add on to the righteousness of Christ. I told you last week, you are never going to be more righteous. From the day you were saved to the day you die, you're not going to be more righteous, because Christ is your righteousness. And He is sufficient. Get that down in your brain or in your heart on the promises of God, and the devil will not deceive you. Because every time he comes and tells you, you're wicked, you're not worthy, you could say, you're right. But I don't have confidence in myself. My confidence is Christ. You got anything against Him? What a victory. That, my friend, is liberating. But what about the poor soul that's thinking, well, I've got to keep these things. And every time he breaks the law, he lives in fear. This might have been the one that does me in. What if I die right after I sin? What's going to happen to me? I'm thankful I don't have to live under that type of burden. And he says here, I'm in the wrong chapter now, back to Galatians 5. Man, time flies by. Let me conclude with this. We'll jump down to verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't misconstrue the fact that we are at liberty, that means we have liberty to sin. Paul says this in Romans chapter 6. I don't know if I could say it any stronger than he did, so I will just read what he says. What shall we say then? Chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Are you dead to sin? You do realize that when you believed on Christ, that you were crucified with Christ, that you were buried with Christ, and that you rose again with Christ? Do you realize that from God's perspective that you are in the heavenlies right now in Christ? Do you realize that when Christ looks on you, when God looks upon you, he sees Christ and not you? Aren't you glad? Do you have that confidence? Recognize yourself as dead. Don't use your liberty, what does he say here, as an occasion to the flesh. We do not want to walk in the flesh. We want to walk in the Spirit. And the next time we come back here, we are going to address that perplexing matter about how to walk in the Spirit. I will give you a hint, because you're going to have several months to think about it. But the answer is, are you ready? Here's the answer. It's coming. You already know the answer, but here it comes. Are you ready? The answer is Christ. It's always been Christ. And then he says, walk in Christ. It's not a one-time event. It's an eternal event. Walk in Christ. And we'll come back to that in a few months. All right. We'll take a break and then we'll come back for preaching.